First, I want to go to God and tell God, thank you for allowing me to be here. Without Him, none of us would be here this morning. On the board, you find it says, where can I go? Where can I go? I'd like to thank everyone for being here and also our guests. Guests, you are honored guests. We appreciate when we have guests at any time. And if, as I always say, if we haven't made you feel like home, then we have to search the scriptures a little bit harder and do the things that God asked us to do. Because I know that all the men and brothers, sisters here, that's our number one goal, is to seek Him first and His righteousness. And I know that you'll know that it was a good stay when we stopped here. I know that there's a couple who are going to be leaving us shortly. I'm not going to ask you to stand up, but I'm going to miss you. And as I thought about you as I was doing this lesson, where can I go? But oh, where can I go? And I want to say to you too that though you're going to somewhere different, God is still there. God is still there. In Psalms 111, praise ye the Lord. I will praise the Lord with my whole heart in the assembly of the upright and in the congregation. The works of the Lord are great. Thought out all them that have pleasure therein. His work is honorable and glorious, and His righteousness endures forever. He hath made His wonderful works to the remembered of the Lord is gracious and full of compassion. He hath given meat unto them that fear Him. He will ever be mindful of His covenant. He has shown His people the power of His works, that He may give them a heritage of the heathen. The works of His hands are verity and judgment. All His commandments are sure. They stand fast forever and ever, and are done with truth and uprightness. He sent redemption unto His people. He has commanded His covenant forever. Holy and reverent is His name. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding of all they that do His commandments, His praise endureth forever. Where can I go? But where can I go? Seeking a refuge for my soul. Where can you go? That's the question that I have for all of us. I even have that question for Brother Washington. I'm preaching the sermon, but the question comes straight at me. Because it's a question I asked myself before I asked you. So I already know what question I was going to get. Because whatever question I ask myself, I'm going to ask you the same question. Because God is going to hold each and every one of us accountable. And that's the question that we all have to answer. That's a question that we all have to face. That's the question. Where can I go? Where can I go? And as I read Psalms 111, look at all the things that God said. He said, He is. Each time he says He, who's he talking about? Himself. That's what I like about David. Have you noticed how David says this in the way he expresses himself? With the authority of God, who has all authority. David's letting us know that this is not what I'm saying. This is what God says. God can do all this. I can't do nothing. He said he bought redemption. What man has bought redemption down into this world? None. But there's thousands and thousands out there saying that I'm Reverend so-and-so. I brought reverence down. Did you? Did you hang on that cross? There's my stick man. Everybody see my stick man. It's always going to be that checkup from here up. It's always going to be that way. As I walk down that road, I got to know who told me how to walk. Who told me how to talk. Well, where am I going? I got to go to the book. I'm going to the book. In Matthew chapter 7, and verse 13 and 14. And I want us to notice a little point here. Enter at the straight gate. Where am I going? First, I'm going to wherever the straight gate's at. I got to go there. Who made the straight gate? Now, if you watch it now, there's two gates. But if you ever change the gate, it was straight and wide. But he didn't say that the wide one was curly. It's all still straight. Because I'm going to come to a point eventually. That straight gate. For wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads into destruction. And many there which will go therein. He didn't say that gate wasn't straight. He said it was straight, wide, broad. But then he talked about because straight is the gate and narrow is the way that leadeth into life. And few there be that find it. See, them two gates are still straight. See, one leads you straight to heaven and one leads you straight to hell. Them gates are straight. They're still straight. Young people, remember this. See, you got to be accountable for everything you do also. It ain't just your mom and your dad, grandpa, grandma. You got to stand one day. And I like to say, brother, you remember the day we had a baptism last Wednesday night. God's happy. Church was happy. But those are decisions. Where can I go? That was the decision that was made. Where can I go? Where said, but to the Lord. Eli could say, well, I tell you where I'm going. I'm going to go play basketball. Girls, well, I go to sewing class. Well, I go to bingo. I go somewhere. Because that gate, when it talks about entering at the straight gate, But why? See, that's that same straight. There ain't no curve. See, everybody want to kind of, we want to doctor it up or sugarcoat it. Or, you know, sometimes you get off that straight, loose track, you might do a jump. No, you ain't doing no jump. You're going straight. See, the Bible says you continue going straight. Now, if you fall from the graces of God, you're still going straight. You're still on that same mission. Straight. You're never going to go sideways. You ain't going sideways. You're going straight. You're going straight. Two places. You're always going to go straight. But it's just straight. But see, there's a narrow. Now see, there's a big difference now. There's a straight wide and a straight narrow. But you're still going straight. Because straight is the gate and narrow is the way. Which leadeth to life. And few. We've seen that word few back in the Old Testament. He said, Noah, build me an ark. And you could just imagine the people saying, Noah, you gotta be stupid. It's desert land. It don't rain here. Noah, what's wrong with you? And how in the world could you bring your children to church on Sunday morning? You can't bring. Why are you bringing children to church on Sunday morning? Noah, why you build an ark and it don't rain? Because I want to stay in that straight, narrow. That's the way I want to go. That's where the Bible said you go that way. Because straight and narrow, and how many? It didn't say a bunch. It said few. How many people did Noah say? It was a few. It was just a few. And I pray to God that all of us in here go to heaven. But we just a few. That's who's going down our narrow. But all those that don't know God, that's the why. That's the why. In Psalm 113, comparing that with Psalm 111, says, praise ye the Lord. The Bible, it just tells you which way to go. Praise ye the Lord. Praise all ye servants of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. Don't stop. Continue. This is a continuation. Continuation. From this moment, keep going. Until the end, keep going. What did Paul say? I'm ready to depart. I've done my job. I'm ready to go. That's how we must be at the end. He says, like back here, even when Paul said, I finished my course. I fought a good fight. I've done what you asked me to do. Can you imagine running? Just running, not get caught. Remember what Paul used to do? back in Acts chapter 7. He was the one standing there, right there on the feet of a Christian, preaching the gospel. Stoned him to death. Paul was there. Which way was Paul going at that time? See, that road goes, that straight line goes both ways. It's good and bad. Where am I going to go? Where can I go? But to the Lord. In times of need, when you got loved ones, they say things to you that ain't very nice. Or you get fellow Christians that don't say things to you very nice. What choice do you make? Where do you go? What do you say? Do I go to that glorious answer in Matthew 6:33? Where am I headed? What answer do I give? Where can I go? But to the Lord. There's no other place I can go. Now you can go other places, but you won't get the same results. Because that straight line is still going straight. The wide one's still going straight. And the narrow still going straight. It ain't changing. In verse 4, it says, the Lord is high above all nations, and His glory above the heavens, who is likened to the Lord our God, who dwelleth on high, who humbleth Himself to behold things that are in the heaven and in the earth. He raiseth up the poor out of the dust, and lifteth the needy out of the dunghills, that they may set him with prince, even with the princes of his people. He maketh the barren woman to keep house and to be a joyful mother of children. Praise ye the Lord. Can't go no other place and not get joy. You go other places, you go to the wide, and that leads to destruction. You get setbacks. Just the things that life has in store for you. Just living in, below in this old simple world. God's got a better plan for you. Better place. In Romans, the first chapter, in the verses 20, this ties on with Brother Richard's lesson about our lessons in class. Because when I ask the question, where can I go? Or where can I go? And verse 20 says, For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even eternal power and Godhead. so that they are without excuse. No excuse? There's no excuse? And as I speak, as Noah, he says, Noah built it out of gopher wood. I'm a hickory man myself. What if he built it out of hickory? Possibly we wouldn't even be here today. Because we have to do those things in that set pattern that God has told us to do them in. Without excuses. In verse 25, in the first same chapter 1, he says, who changed the truth of God into lies. These are just different people that's going different ways, not the way that God asked you to go. And worship and serve the creature more than the creator. People that want to do the things their way. I've got to do it my way. But Noah knew that he could do it. The only way that he could do it was God's way. He told Noah to make it, pitch it, build it out of certain wood. Noah had to do it. We have to do it. We can't change it. And what's so beautiful about doing it God's way? Because in chapter 2 and verse 11 said, God said, for there is no respecter person for God. I don't care who you are. I don't care how you feel about me. I don't care how I feel about you. But if I can't do it God's way, I can't do it at all. And that is the way that you must feel. That's the way that you must, the attitude you must have. If it ain't God's way, leave it alone. Don't mess around with God's business, because it ain't none of your business. Let God do His thing. He already done it. Through our studies, you've seen the creation. Through our classes, you've seen it, young people, in the class. It was God's way. And God said, and He did it. His way. Because He has all authority. He gave it to His Son. And He's doing it His way. God's way. Don't ever change. Where can I go? Oh, where can I go? Seeking the refuge for my soul. And the refuge is in God. That's just beautiful. When we sit back and we think about it. How can we do it? How can we make it? But when you do the things that God asks you to do, it becomes much more easy. Children, just like when your parents ask you to do something, they ask you in a nice way. Sometimes you don't think it is. God asks us as adults in a nice way. He says, seek ye first the kingdom of His righteousness. He asks us in a very nice way. But time and time and time when we won't do what He asks us to do, He doesn't ask us anymore. He shows us. That's why the way to go is to God and God only. Satan is always out there trying his best to persuade you to go another way. Because Satan always feels that he has a more better way. Then God, He did it in the start in the garden. But he doesn't have a better way. God's way is the only way. When God says, for there is no respect of person, he means it. Because the proof is in Genesis chapter 2 and verse 7. He breathed the breath in your nostrils. And he done that to every last one of us. There's no respect to a person. In Genesis 2 and 7, it says, the Lord formed man out of the dust of the earth, the dust of the ground, and breathed into his nostril the breath of life. And man became a living soul. He done that to each and every one of us. You don't have no respect to person. I don't care how we feel. I don't care how we were taught. But the book says there's no respecter of person. Because we're sitting here breathing an air. We're breathing. We can't even see the air. So the breath of air that he breathed into the nostrils of man and gave life, it was transparent. Can you see what color that air is out there? You're breathing it. Does it have a color? Does it have a name? It's air. This gave you life. That's so important to remember. God's transparent. God's transparent. That's the whole thing. Where can I go? Or where can I go? To the Lord. He's transparent. He treats everybody the same. Everybody's going to get the same thing. They're going to get the same judgment. If you did wrong, you get your just reward. If you done right, you're going to get your just reward. He ain't going to change it. That's what's so beautiful and so loving about this world. You know, this world you can, God, this world, there's so many ups and downs, and ins and outs, and letdowns, and, you know, you've been there. You've been there. You've been on your job where, I'm a Christian, you're what? I'm a Christian, and it's like you just cussed at somebody for being a Christian. So you ask yourself, where are you going? I'm still going to the Lord. I'm still going to stay that Christian. See, I got backup. Being a Christian is, you have backup. Your backup is that one who created this world. That one that gave his son to die on the tree of the cross for redemption. For your soul and my soul. That same almighty loving God can take an old dirty man like me that's got dirt all over top of me and blowing the nostrils and make me healthy. That same old God that can take someone that fall down because they're sick or they become weakened, but he can help bring them back and make them stand on their feet. That's our almighty God. Where am I going to go, God? I can't go nowhere but to you. And I ask you the question this morning. Where can you go? Where else can you go? I sat there and I sat in a hospital bed. And I made my mind up. Said, Lord, you know something. I can't go nowhere. It's not because I had a stroke. If I was sitting there healthy and could jump up and down, play ball like you kids again, it don't matter. Because even when I'm healthy, there ain't no other place I can go but to you, Lord. When the people at work are bash me up and down, because I'm that Christian, where can I go but to the Lord? When your neighbor know that you're a Christian and they come at you all kind of ways, saying what they say and this and that, and where can you go? When you got a loved one that's down and out and you don't know which way life is going to take you, where do you go? To man? You go to the Lord. You always got to go to the Lord. Because the Lord said, I'm a jealous God. He said, I'm jealous. Now, if you go somewhere else instead of coming to me, you got a price to pay. Because I'm God. That's what God said. I'm God. I'm just a man. I'm just a man saying something that God, just like he told Paul and James and Titus and Timothy and Mark and Matthew. Talk about me, y'all. Talk about me. I'm the God. I'm the way. Where could I go? I'm where you can go. I'm the one where you can seek refuge. I'm the one that you can seek comfort. And then when that chilling death comes, just like the song says, I'm the one you gotta face. I'm the one, God said. And I think about that time and time and time and time and time again. Because it's going to happen. And if it doesn't happen in your lifetime, you still got to come to him. You still got to come to him. We all still got to come to him. But it's a wonderful knowing that when he asked me to listen and hear a gospel preacher, I listened. He said to hear. So I listened and I heard it. I heard a gospel preacher talking and preaching about the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. He talked about someone that wasn't well liked because he was without sin. And I believed in him. He said for me to hear him, and I heard the gospel preacher. And I believed. In Matthew 16:15-16, he that believeth and is what? Baptized. That's Mark 16:16. Excuse me. That here that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. But he went also to say, he that believeth not shall be damned. In Acts 2:38, in 2:38, he talked about repent. They asked him, Peter, what should we do? He said, repent every last one of you. In Matthew 10:32, he talked about confession. Confess with the mouth. Do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? He said, yeah, I do. And with the mouth, confession was made. As we talk time and time about that Ethiopian eunuch, What hindereth me to be baptized? He said, in Acts chapter 8, what hindereth me? There's water. What hindereth me to be baptized? All these points were so sufficient, well needed to become a Christian. In Acts 11:26, and after all this, that procedures were done, you know, they gave you a new name, a glorious name, a name above all people on this earth that's walking around. He named you Christian. That Christian being Christ-like. That almost like Christ. Christ-like. An honor. He gave you an honorable name. And after that, sometimes we don't walk. We're walking straight, but sometimes we just don't stay on the narrow. My Christian brothers and sisters, if we ever need God, don't never, ever not come to Him. Don't put pride in front of coming to Him when you need Him. A lot of times, you know, we might do something, but things just ain't going right. And the only ones can help us is each other. That's what God put us down here for, to help each other. I might need Brother Charles's his prayer. I might need his prayer to help me. Or I ask Sister Lyle, I ask somebody to pray for me. Let's not take this for granted. The tools that God has given us. He gave us the armor that we read about in Ephesians. He gave it to us to stand against all the odds of Satan. Because we're going to fight. We're fighting Satan daily. It's a battle. It's an everlasting battle. When we need each other, ask. Don't be ashamed. Don't be ashamed to ask God to help you. Don't be ashamed to stand up and say, Lord, brothers and sisters, I need you. I'm going to tell you, brothers and sisters, I need y'all every day. I need your prayers every day. Because there's times in my life I get weak. And I need you. Don't never turn your back on each other. Because God gave us to each other. He made it possible for us to be here. We're getting ready to sing a song that was selected for the invitation. Don't turn your back on each other, because God never turned his back on you. Seek ye first the kingdom and his righteousness.